Okay. Very good. And we're coming back in to the second hour. This is the Barden Report from Republic Broadcasting. PJ Barden is my name. And we're here today on this Saturday, 28th day of November, 2020. Just had what ye had. Thanksgiving on Thursday. That doesn't exist here. And I always say this time of year, why the hell do they put Thanksgiving at the last week of November when it should be the last week in October? It's about traditional Christian principle of giving thanks for the harvest being in. And that is pretty much all in. Grain starts in July, August, and other crops, et cetera, buds. But apples are the last, and they come in October, and that's it. I don't think they follow on to do sugar beet harvesting in December, January, all the rest of it. That's a different subject. But that always amazed me. When I was in America, the Thanksgiving was a much bigger event than Christmas. Christmas was one day. Christmas this year is on a Friday. Therefore, it's a 10, 11-day break. Nobody, even though with the lockdown on. But people want a time to get stoned on the booze. They're so pissed off. Anyway, we'll go back to Mike Adams, and this piece will end around about the end of the first break. And we take calls, 313-9443, after the first break today, 20 past the hour. And then I'm not taking calls in the third hour because we're playing a large piece from Mike Adams again called Murky Works about the rendition flights. But anyway, we go back to Mike Adams now. Okay.
As long as the party had more ballots, that's it. It's just, I guess you just stack up the paper and whoever has the tallest stack wins. Well, that's fine. I know where to find paper factories. If this is the way we're going to run elections, we can print lots of ballots. I mean, if those are the rules. But clearly those aren't the rules. So what these judges are saying is nonsense, and I believe SCOTUS will see right through that. In fact, what I find interesting about this is that this district court decision was handed down very quickly, and I think two of the judges there were appointed by Bush, if I'm not mistaken. Ooh. And I'm wondering if they wrote this, you know, crazy, insane opinion almost as a joke just to kick it to the Supreme Court as quickly as possible because they knew that that's where it needs to go anyway. So maybe they were secretly helping Trump by doing this. No one buys the argument that these judges wrote, not even other judges, frankly, you know, unless they're Democrat-appointed judges. So I think there are going to be many cases where things happen over the next few weeks where people in positions of power can't come out and say they would love Trump to win. They would love the election to be honest and so on. But they can do things like this. They can dismiss a case quickly so that it goes up to the Supreme Court, and that helps Trump. Oh, and I should remind you, I did mention this yesterday, but it's worth reminding. Every conservative justice on the Supreme Court today, every one of them, has endured some level of brutal attacks, smearing, and defamation by Democrats. You know, starting with Thomas. You know, Thomas was just vilified by Democrats many years ago. They tried to keep him off the court by coming up with, allegations of, sexual impropriety and so on. The same game plan they ran against Kavanaugh and, to some extent, Gorsuch. And then, of course, Alito has had his share of criticism, not as harsh as Thomas, but Barrett was even subjected to quite a lot. They attacked her religion. They attacked her for her religious beliefs. And so every one of these conservative justices has a personal reason to, what's the best way to say this? Well, to stick it to the Dems, yeah. That's not beating around the bush. Yes, they're going to rule on the law, but you can also rule on the law and give the Democrats the finger at the same time. When the Democrats, when you know, let's say if your name is Clarence Thomas or let's say Kavanaugh, those are probably the two best examples of extremely harsh attacks that are based entirely on fiction. The Democrats tried to destroy you. They tried to ruin your life. They tried to embarrass you on a national scale. They embarrassed your family members. They dragged you through the mud. Do you think that Thomas is ever going to forget what they did to him? No, he's not. And didn't he call it, back when it happened to him, didn't he call it a modern-day lynching or an electronic lynching? Something like that. It was a lynching. I remember him saying that. And he's right. It was some form of lynching of his character by the Democrats. Well, believe me, he has not forgotten that. And if it comes down to a moment of history where he can make a decision to either hand this country over to the Democrat criminals and fraudsters and smear artists who tried to destroy him with false, salacious allegations, you can bet that no matter what his adherence is to the Constitution, Clarence Thomas is going to remember that these are the people who tried to destroy him. And so is Kavanaugh. Kavanaugh's going to remember that too. And this is a huge, huge factor. So to people who say, well, they don't trust the Supreme Court to make the right decision, and I guess to some extent, I don't have full faith in them making the right decision either. But I tell you what, every one of the five justices that we need has a personal reason to deny handing power to these insane, power-hungry, destructive Democrats. And I believe that will be a factor in their decision that's coming. No question in my mind. All right, some other items here. Sidney Powell appeared on the Howie Carr show. Howie Carr has been putting out some really good interviews on this. And she says, quote, "We've got pictures of the check stubs paid to people to ballot harvest," which is illegal in all these swing states, by the way. So she's got hardcore evidence that, you know, ballot harvesting, vote fraud was going on and people were paid to do it. And she's going to present that. And when she was asked how many fraudulent votes were placed for Biden all across the country with fake ballots, dead people voting, you know, the machines being rigged and so on, she said probably at least 10 million fraudulent votes. And several million of those, she said, are dead people voting. 10 million votes. I tell you, here's my estimation of where we are. I think Joe Biden got far fewer than 70 million votes. And I think Trump got far more than 80 million. In fact, I think Trump got the most votes in history of any president ever, or any candidate for president ever. And I wouldn't be surprised if Joe Biden only got 50 million votes or less, because who actually voted for Biden, you know, aside from the CIA and dead people and people whose ballots were harvested from their insane asylums and nursing homes and so on. I mean, who living, you know, who is on the streets, conscious, aware, walking around with a job, actually voted for Joe Biden? Not that many. Very few. You take away the zombie vote and the illegal vote and the dementia vote and all that, and Joe Biden hardly got any votes. So let's hope history corrects this soon, which looks like it's going that direction. All right, the Pennsylvania State Legislature has filed a resolution to dispute the election results. Boom! It's another bombshell right there. It's showing that, at least in Pennsylvania, there's one state legislature that is waking up from their little GOP slumber, their little corporate campaign donation sleepy time rest, waking up and saying, oh, hey, wait a minute, maybe we should fight for, you know, whatever's left of our republic here. Yeah. So that's what's happening in Pennsylvania. And then, as I mentioned today, a top Iranian nuclear scientist has been taken out, and Iran, oh, and by the way, this has really set back Iran's nuclear weapons program. Woo, big time. And Iran blames Israel and the United States, which is probably correct. Yep, that's probably who did it. But what you got to understand about this is, remember that Barack Obama funneled billions of dollars into Iran and also allowed weapons-grade plutonium to be brought into Iran from Russia, where it was processed there, and some of that plutonium originated in the United States through the Uranium-1 scandal involving Robert Mueller and Hillary Clinton and other key deep state players. So when Obama was president and he flew all that cash into Iran, and he also unleashed Iran's money that had been locked up with international sanctions, Obama himself committed acts of illegal global money laundering. He violated international money laundering laws in order to get all this money to Iran, because Iran was building, well, and has been ever since, building nuclear weapons against Israel. Iran, the minute they have nuclear weapons that are capable of destroying Israel, they will launch them. And you may recall, it was just a few months ago that secret nuclear facility buildings in different locations in Iran were just magically blowing up. And it turns out that was Israel. Israel was hard at work infiltrating, identifying, and then sabotaging Iran's nuclear program. Because, of course, Iran is going to nuke Israel the first chance they get. So, you know, these are preemptive self-defense maneuvers by Israel, right? Well, guess what happened several years earlier to disrupt Iran's nuclear weapons program? It was a cyber warfare weapon called Stuxnet. And Stuxnet was a very special, very advanced Trojan horse type of malware program. And Stuxnet was built by, in fact, a partnership between the United States military, the cyber warfare elements of the Pentagon, and Israel. And Stuxnet was highly successful, and it was built to invade Windows computers, including Windows laptops, all over the world, which it did. It infected millions of Windows systems, probably yours and mine, by the way. But its payload was delivered only to laptops running Windows that were connected to Iran's centrifuge control systems, these hardware control systems that run the centrifuges, that have a very specific programming language and, you know, very specific ports that are open that, you know, your laptop can talk to over TCP/IP on the local network. So the reason I'm saying this is because you got to understand, America and Israel built malware and released it on the entire world just so that a payload might get onto a laptop that attached to Iran's centrifuge hardware control systems, where they did their job of screwing up the spin speed, the actual, you know, RPMs of the centrifuges. It screwed up that spin speed for several months, but it went undetected, causing Iran to waste maybe 6 months or a year of what was to become weapons grade uranium. It was all wasted. It was all tainted, you could say, because the centrifuges weren't spinning at the right RPMs. So you weren't getting the separation of the density of the molecules that you need in order to have, you know, refined uranium for nuclear weapons. So that was a very successful cyber attack. And I don't recall the year that took place, but it seems to me it was about 20 years ago, roughly in that range. I don't have it in front of me, but it's been a while, okay? Now, the reason this is relevant to what's happening right now is because, number one, this shows the effectiveness of the military intelligence cyber warfare divisions, which tends to be centered in the DIA, but can also involve the United States Air Force as well. They have a cyber command unit, some special units in other sectors of the military, and there's also Space Command, or Space Force, as is known right now as well, which deals with satellite communications and encryption systems as well, GPS and so on. But even 20 years ago, or whenever it was, the U.S. was able to build a very, very effective and very complex cyber weapon and release it onto the world so that it could hit its intended target, which was Iran's nuclear weapons program. This is parallel to what China did with COVID-19. China built a biological weapon with the help of information from the United States and funding through Dr. Fauci and Obama's NIH, National Institutes of Health, funneled money into the Wuhan Virology Institute to build a weapon. They released it first on their own people so they could claim that it was an accident. But the real goal was for this to spread around the globe in order for the left-wing media in the United States to demand lockdowns and then to justify legislators pushing for mail-in ballots so that the mail-in ballots could be, of course, created in large numbers of fraudulent ballots in order to steal the election. And the target then was Trump. So just as Stuxnet was released onto the entire world to infect millions of laptop computers just to stop or just to alter the centrifuge speeds of a very tiny number of centrifuge systems in Iran, the COVID-19 virus was engineered and released upon the world and allowed to kill, what, hundreds of thousands of people perhaps? Depends on what numbers you believe. Just in order to target one person, and his name is Donald Trump, to target him with election fraud in order to remove him from power. Why? Because Trump is China's mortal enemy. Because Trump has really taken it to China. Trump has not surrendered to China. Trump is going to defeat China if he has a second term. And China is on the edge of an economic implosion that very few people really know about. But it will come if Trump wins a second term and continues to apply the pressure. And there are so many things going on behind the scenes that Trump is doing, such as he's shifting our dependence on rare earth elements, or what are called rare earths, for example, away from China. And it's been very successful, Trump's program to do this. Just over the last 4 years, we have moved our dependence out of China and into many other countries, and to some extent, even domestically in the continental United States, so that we depend more on ourselves for these strategic rare earth elements. So Trump was the target, and the lockdowns were necessary for this weapon to be effective. And the mechanism of the weapon was the mail-in ballot vote fraud in order to steal the election and install who? Joe Biden, whose family is on the payroll of communist China, the same country that built the COVID-19 bioweapon. So, I know it's a lot to absorb. But the reason I mention all of this is because it's critical to understand the global warfare, how it happens. When nations want to take down other nations, they will very often build and release exotic weapons, cyber weapons, which are self-replicating, digital weapons, or biological self-replicating weapons, which are viruses, in order to ultimately compromise a very small target, you know, or a very small number of targets. They don't mind killing millions of people to get this done. Or in the case of Stuxnet, they didn't mind infecting millions of Windows computers and laptops all over the world in order to achieve their desired goal. So please understand that when you endure things like nationwide food shortages or lockdowns or vaccine mandates or supply line disruptions, what you're actually experiencing is not organic. These are the results of key players, nations around the world, waging warfare against each other. And you and I are caught in the crossfire. The lockdowns that are pushed by governors like Newsom and Cuomo and so on that are resulting in shutdowns of farms in California or meat processing plants and so on, causing food disruptions. Their goal is not to cut off the food supply. That's just a side effect of their goal, which is to destroy Trump. And it's important to understand that Democrats don't care how much damage they have to do to the United States of America in order to take out Trump. There is no amount of damage that is too much. They are all in. They would nuke this country if it got rid of Trump. If they thought that would work, they would do it. It would be suicide, but they have so much hatred for Trump, they don't care. They will commit suicide for all of us. They will kill us all to get rid of Trump. So understand what's at stake here as we continue with this analysis. Okay, now that was just the Iranian nuclear scientist being killed, which really does set back their nuclear program. And that's important geopolitically because it gives Trump and Israel more time to maneuver, to work to defeat Iran with economic sanctions and covert warfare, rather than allowing nuclear weapons to be deployed in the Middle East, which would be, of course, wildly destabilizing to the entire world, and it would put Trump on a war footing. Oh, yeah, and speaking of war footing, I forgot to mention this, that Trump did actually sign an extension of the state of war in Afghanistan. There's a one-year extension that was signed sometime this year. I don't recall the exact date, but it does mean that the United States recognizes it is in a state of war in Afghanistan, that there is active, you know, active warfare underway. And the fact that this war is taking place internationally, believe it or not, it has some spillover effects to the centralization of wartime powers to the chief executive, which is Trump. And when you look at the fact that this election was stolen using servers with IP addresses traced back to places like Serbia, Germany, Spain, and probably many other countries that we don't know about yet, perhaps Venezuela, we'll see. It means that Trump's wartime powers have been in effect this entire time. You see, the theater of war under which this election took place is the theater of war of national defense and global warfare, where the Democrats have made the mistake of thinking the theater of war is domestic elections and ballots and media propaganda. So they're actually, the Democrats are fighting in the wrong theater. They think they're winning, and they may be winning in their theater. They've got control of the media. They obviously printed far more ballots than Trump could come up with. I mean, ballot printing machines are pretty cheap to get running. But the Democrats fail to see that the context of this this war is actually a global context of national defense and global cyber warfare. And in that context, Trump has, as the president of the United States, absolute power to deploy resources of the United States in the interests of the national defense of the country. Now, keep all that in mind as we now continue to the second chapter here. What? Oh, gosh, we're 45 minutes into this already, and I've only finished part one. Like I said, this one's going to be a little bit longer than usual. Survival Nutrition is our new free audiobook that you can download right now from survivalnutrition.com.
Okay, we're probably near
in this
the end
nearly
of that
8-hour audiobook. You will learn life-saving secrets of how to...
Okay. You need to go to a break, Ken. Okay, but I'll just say to people, riveting stuff from Mike Adams, absolutely riveting. The next one I'm going to play in the entire third hour today, which is Monkey Works. Don't balk at that term. This is a code name for a guy, an outstanding guy, who monitors the rendition flights. But just in the between times now, between now and the top of this hour, if we'll take calls from people who want to comment on what we've said so far. And that's 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. If you have something to add to this. But, yo, absolutely. But the intense stories this week is it's COVID or Trump, COVID or Trump, all the way through. And I just threw in one piece about the BBC because there's major statistics released this year, and Alex Belfield laying into the BBC, his ex-employer, who he now despises, and we all despise them. They're craven, sucking up to Biden. And even Boris Johnson sent a congratulatory telegram to Biden, treating him as the winner. And boy, he'll regret that. He will regret that, etc. And George Bush congratulating Biden. Yeah, partners in crime. Why not? Why not? Why not? But this other thing that's going on in between times, we come back to the next Mike Adams piece in the third hour. But the covert data spies pay to know all your secrets. Town halls, this is the UK, town halls harvest millions of highly personal details, including if you're being unfaithful or otherwise, to predict who is likely to break lockdown, creating risk analysis for households. This is software and tracing apps, right, which are tied into all general data about you and your social security numbers, etc. The system called COVID Overview. A good title, COVID Overview, which is you want to be an idiot to take any of those tracing apps on your phone. I mean, you're marked for life. COVID One View is produced by data analytics firm Exantura, another one of those. Council said the aim is to help identify those most at risk from coronavirus. MPs have said the system lacks transparency and it's not clear why so much information about residents' lives was needed. What a crap statement. It's a spying device, for God's sake. And there's some guy called Tom Kelly for the Mail Online Investigation Unit, they're calling themselves now, really. Town halls are harvesting millions of highly personal details about residents using COVID software, the Daily Mail reveals today. A private firm has signed a lucrative, as usual, deals with local authorities to garner the data, which can be used to predict who is likely to break lockdown. The information is culled from council records and includes family debt levels, living arrangements, income, school absences and exclusions. This is the working class they're getting at. It is fed into a prolific system called COVID One View to create a risk analysis for households and individuals who are believed to be vulnerable. This, of course, was planned way back. You can't just put software like that together overnight or in a few months. This is proof, if proof were needed, like the patent on the PCR test was taken out in October 2015 by the Rothschilds. Okay. Probably on behalf of Bill Gates. Town halls, this is the UK we're talking about, say the aim is to help identify those most at risk from coronavirus, but council presented slides at a video conference last month showing the information could be used to predict who might break isolation rules, like your history. One, our investigation found that the information COVID One View can gather included notes on the following. Unfaithful or unsafe sex. I don't know how they're going to get that information. Emotional health and well-being. Sleep issues. Predictive programming. This is, yeah. Dangerous pets. Yeah, well, sink estate people usually have dangerous dogs. Yeah. Anger management issues and socially unacceptable behavior. Financial details, including debt, low income, or tax arrears. School attendances, low school commitment, and free school meals. like if you're a parent as one of those, you're at risk. I don't know how they mean that the virus would attack them more readily. I mean, there's a missing piece here. Meaning these people are the people to be dealt with. I think that's the attitude. MPs and campaigners said the system lacked transparency and it was not clear why so much information was we needed to on about residents' lives. Jack Herford, a Big Brother Watch, a privacy campaigning group, said this underlies the shift towards mass surveillance and data harvesting that has been triggered by the pandemic. Oh, really? Why don't you get your teeth into this and go after these MPs and remind them of we have the recall rule here in the UK for any councillor, minister or MP. We can recall. I was involved in a recall here in my own constituency a few years ago over a git of a Tory, which we kicked out. The Liberals won the seat temporarily at the election, but the Tories won it back at the general election last year. Okay, we go to this bottom of the hour break, and we should be back in a few minutes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
With Echo Book, only you. But it's just explaining this article in the Daily Mail about this COVID track and tracing, which we knew would, it has evolved with another piece of tech to track every single data about you. Where is I reading today? That the COVID is the precursor of the green agenda and the banking reset. I saw another interview today. Outstanding between JFK Jr. and Catherine Austin Fitz, who is tracking all this obscene amounts of money that are missing. Trillions and trillions and trillions. Not the Pentagon money, even. That's another one. But all of this carry-on is the precursor for the great banking reset. And they meet every year in August in Jackson's Hole. And the plan this year was to go ahead with the COVID. That was agreed in, and you heard Mike Adams saying there that was financed, that Wuhan laboratory was financed out of America and by Fauci and technology. So this is planned, folks, every bit of it. And this mask wearing, which is crap, absolutely crap, useless crap on one level and destructive to your health on the other. It is useless. You need gloves to wear gloves, and you need to take things like zinc, vitamin C, etc., to protect yourself. I'm taking four or five items, but not one syllable out of the government's mouth, not one syllable of protective and preventative medicine regarding COVID. Nothing isolate, isolate, lock down. That's it. And they're running to big pharma rules at every step of the way. Blatant, absolutely blatant. This other guy, Jack Herford of Big Brother Watch, was watching and not doing anything about it. It was a concern about privacy campaign group, really. Well, he wanted to get up off his arse and start doing something. It's scandalous that councils are using large, huge amounts of personal information and experimental algorithms to assign people's risk scores and predictions behind closed doors. People have a right to know how their data is being used and how decisions are being made about their lives. Xantura, the firm behind the system, said it has worked exclusively for councils for 12 years, and millions of pieces of data made its algorithms incredibly accurate. It charges customers, accounts, £18,000 to use it. That's cheap for a council. The money that councils kick around is unbelievable. It's like the BBC kicking the money around like confetti. They're handed it, £350 million a year up front. There you are. Go ahead, run a TV station. You heard Alex Belfield. There's 22,000 people directly employed and about 5 or 8, 10,000 indirectly. 30,000 schlucks working overpaid hacks. Overfed, overpaid, and working for the BBC. The Chartered Institute of Public Finance and Accountancy, a joint partner with Xantu, in the scheme, said over one view aimed to build an operation shield which identified 1.5 million individuals at high risk of COVID. Oh, yes. Apparently, well, the way they've identified them so far, this is the scummy sinker state lowlife. While operating shield was limited to those with high clinical need, one view, there's many systems, it's unbelievable. Operation Shield and One View aims to help councils identify those most vulnerable to the social and economic impact of the pandemic, which is not a pandemic. It doesn't even qualify as a pandemic. This includes files on household rent arrears, children's and adult social care, school records. These are used to pick up COVID risk factors, which include debt, domestic violence, mental health, and low income. screenshots from presentations shown at a video conference last month illustrated how UK councils are secretly harvesting data to create lists of people at risk for breaking isolation using COVID One View. Another document produced by Xantura in May, using an example of Barking and Dagenham Council, yes, my uncle used to be a dentist there in East London, highlights how the data is broken down and used. It says, we're immediately able to identify 1,100 households who are not currently engaged with any council services, but who have a significant debt of over 1,000, are over 65 and live alone. Wow. The in the first week of using the case management system, 58 identified households were referred to service areas for further support. Support, I would say persecution. Really crass. Local London councils, the association for capitals, 32 boroughs, said that this month that the system used of data predictive analytics and artificial intelligence had helped local authorities identify those in need of the support. Need to be cold, I would think. That's their attitude. A separate briefing note last month noted how councils could further harness data from documents provided by drilling down into a breadth of categories to find extra details to be included for analysis. These, like your basic factual, life factual statistics, are it's a rap sheet to wrap around your neck, as they say. They used to say in Hill Street Blues. A separate briefing note last month noted how councils could further harness data from the document provided by drilling down into a reach of breadth of categories. Okay, these included 19 high-level classifications, including socially unacceptable behaviour, such as unfaithful and unsafe sex. I don't know how they're going to glean that information. And hazards and threats, which included being potentially aggressive or having dangerous pets. Well, that's council state for carry on in the worst elements of Britain. Xantura said that the note simply showed information that can be analysed, and none of the councils using One View in London, Essex and West Midlands and Cheshire, blah, blah, blah. Details of One View can be published after The Mail revealed last month that millions of people were being monitored for social distancing as part of government-backed project secretly rolled out across Britain. At least 363 cameras originally installed to monitor traffic flow have now been switched similarly without public consultation to snoop on pedestrians. Whoa. And who's the mayor of London? Sadiq Khan. I'm sure he's delighted. The copy link to others, yeah. Tory MP Steve Baker is among the critics of OneView, arguing that the system needs to be made more transparent. Tory MP Steve Baker said of OneView, is this really how we want to live under the gaze of machines deciding what public services we shall be entitled to? Clearly there are potential benefits of getting help to people who need it, but we need to be reassured how the help is being decided on. Jamie Stone, Liberal Democrat digital spokesman, said it's vital that at every level of government there is absolute transparency about what data has been collected and how it's being used. Token posturing crap, seminar language. Liberals won't give a toss to them. This is the end to ensure people's personal data is protected and their privacy is respected. Crap, there's no such thing, and your medical history is bought and resold by Big Pharma all the time. Thank you, GP, for that. Another guy, Wajid Shafiq, chief executive of Xantura, said the OneView application is for use by councils to link up data they already collected so that they can quickly identify the individuals most at risk from wider impacts of COVID-19. This is so they can focus their support where it has the biggest impact, blah, blah, blah. And it goes on and on and on and on. But these track and trace apps, watch out, folks, watch out. You're an idiot if you get involved in that, but they're tracking and tracing you anyway. Woo, and Qantas Airways, say, CEO, this is the guy, Joyce, an Irish guy, runs that, he's a vile creature. Say COVID vaccinations will be mandatory for travel. Australia, as we've said before many times, it's gone as a country. Once they join the TPP, the globalists are running Australia and New Zealand, and the people down there are beginning to know because they're getting beaten up by the police in Melbourne and Victoria. But it's gone as a country. Absolutely deleted. No, it has no future. Friends of mine living down in Christchurch, I haven't talked to them in a while, but I must recontact them. But CDC proposes concentration camps in America, plans to invade homes and separate families. Well, what is the dear president going to do about this? An agency out of control, totally out of control. A paper from the CDC proposes physically isolating high-risk individuals, including the elderly and those with serious underlying medical conditions, as it provides the three levels of confinement called the shielding approach. The three, this sounds like the care pathway, the three quantity models include high-risk individuals remaining with their family but isolated within a separate room inside the household, a prisoner of Zendaya. The second model is the neighborhood level that swaps out homes so that high-risk person can be isolated with a small group of households. And finally, the camp sector level that houses up to 50 high-risk people is in school or community buildings. The CDC claims the purpose of the camps is to prevent overwhelming medical facilities to avoid lockdown. Really, no, it's about FEMA camps and retraining and re-education and probably extermination. Proven an increase in death rates. However, housing a bunch of sick people together has already proven to increase death rates, as was reported when people diagnosed with COVID-19 were moved into nursing homes from hospitals, etc. The timeline to terminate the program depends on sufficient hospital capacity, vaccines, and the so-called pandemic. Yeah, the COVID-19, the vaccines, and 5G, that's the wipeout, the absolute wipeout. That the CDC document titled Interim Operator. This is the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, which owns patents on several pharmaceutical drugs and owns the patent on Ebola. Does that ask and answer your question about the CDC? And it is a Dun & Bradstreet Corporation for Profit. That's what it is, right? It just goes on and on forever. The CDC claims that the shielding approach, shielding, is intended to alleviate stress to the healthcare system and avoid long-term contaminant measures and lockdowns. I mean, this thing about chasing their tail, a trace of the virus, doesn't effing matter. It's to get the outbreak. You get the outbreak, right? And this absolute crap is going on. It's designed to destroy people's lives. The shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between high-risk vulnerable people and general population, blah, blah, blah. They keep repeating elements of this. High-risk minors should be accompanied into isolation by a single caregiver who will also be confined to a green zone. Camps and settlements. This is like a prisoner of war camp. FEMA camps are coming into play. What they were built to do in the first place. So the CDC wants to take over the FEMA camp. This is basically what this article is about. Wow. How shocking is that? And there's another article about it in the background. It's the same one, really. CDC, RBN. But government argues in court that it can kill U.S. citizens at will with zero judicial oversight. And this is using drones, right? Well, it shows an aircraft hangar of them here, and they're massive drones. You can get a drone the size of a chocolate box, but you can also get big one the size of a small house, fully armed, etc. But the federal government is back in court arguing for its unilateral right to kill U.S. citizens. The two journalists who had appeared to have been mistakenly targeted by drone strikes sued the government in 2017, seeking an injunction forbidding their own government from extrajudicially killing them. The journalists Ahmad Zadeen and by Ali Karim, both experienced near misses by drone strikes. The suspicion they were mistakenly targeted was confirmed by the NASA document leaked by Edward Snowden and etc. An Al Jazeera journalist was a member of Al-Qaeda. His targeting was related to the government's bulk collection of metadata, which would have placed Zadeen close to several Al-Qaeda members. His proximity to Al-Qaeda members was to be expected, given his coverage of Al-Qaeda activities, etc., in his journalism. Well, that's the kind of obvious, isn't it? And it takes it. All it takes is metadata to get someone killed. Even U.S. citizens like Bill Karim, who, like Zadeen, routinely covered Al-Qaeda activity and spoke to Al-Qaeda members. Karim's also solo lawsuit demanded confirmation that he has been placed on the government kill list, was terminated by the D.C. The data, I presume, was terminated by the D.C. District Court in 2019, which held that the information was too sensitive to share with the U.S. citizens possibly marked for death by their own government. His joint lawsuit with Zadeen lives on forever, okay, and it may finally provide the journalists with some answers. As Megan Monero reports from the Courthouse News Services, the D.C. judges handling the case seemed rather shocked by the government's assertions. And drawing alarm at the D.C. Circuit, a lawyer for United States argued Monday that the government had the power to kill its citizens without judicial oversight when the state secrets are involved. But the NDAA provides for that. Obama makes sure of that. And several other bills, etc., etc. The state secrets assertion was the same claim used to escape Karim's solo lawsuit. But it doesn't appear to be working quite as well as this time. Okay. It's going into all sorts of detail. But the government was seeking to confirm legally it's right to kill you. Wow. And a long article about what, again, from the RBN website, what no one is saying about the lockdowns. Well, I think we've said everything that's possible to say about them. But we played Gemma O'Doherty's thing last week about asking the British government, the Irish government, scientists and their laboratories to prove that COVID can be separated out as a virus. And the answer is no, it can't. Right, so it is a ruse. It's a bioweapon to disrupt society. And I say again, Mike Adams, a lot of very valuable information. He said last February that the tsunami wave of economic and financial destruction would be 10,000 times worse than the virus, and he's absolutely correct. Absolutely. But one other story, the Democrat operative brought fraudulent Dominion voting machines to Michigan. Of course he did. Okay, we go to this break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized, and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Okay, very good. We're coming back in with Michael Bullock and reading a piece here now. Democratic operative brought fraudulent Dominion voting machines to Michigan. And who do they show the major photograph here? And this person was a personal friend of Governor Gretchen Whitmer. There's a photograph over here, even with her makeup and et cetera. She does look like a demon. I've written demon on her forehead. But she is a demonic demon, no doubt about it. Her activity, proven. She has no respect for human life, for people, or sovereignty. None. A few years after receiving a master's information system degree from the All the all-online University of Phoenix, Kelly Garrett, was appointed mayor of Lathrop Village in Oakland County suburb of Detroit. It was November 2017, to be exact, the same year Donald Trump was inaugurated. Garrett assumed her role as mayor of Lathrop Village during this, which time she was working full-time project manager and customer relations manager for Dominion, according to her LinkedIn resume. Really. Garrett got her seat on Dominion at Dominion in May 2017, just 4 months after Trump was inaugurated, and continued to work in that role even after becoming mayor. And while Mayor Garrett forged a $25 million contract with Michigan to have Dominion voting systems run in the state future elections. My. Politician and sales rep as well. It had 2 years after facilitating the contract deal with Garrett, was supposedly appointed to the position of deputy director in the Michigan Democratic Party, presumably as a thank you for the role she played in helping to prevent Trump from winning Michigan a second time in 2020. An individual named Gavin Mario Wax is credited with outing Garrett on Twitter, exposing her as a Democrat operative who abused her role as public servant to help rig Michigan's election with the Dominion voting systems. According to reports, the state of Michigan executed a contract with Dominion voting systems in the amount of $24 million with an initial effective date of March 1st, 2017. An expiracy date of February 28, 2027. Well, they're covering the next election as well. Not good. Listed as the Dominion representative as are Garrett and other woman named Cheryl Holmes, a state project manager. Whitmer rewarded Garrett by appointing her to Commission on Community Action and Economic Opportunity. All these collecting positions on these things, which they get fees and expenses for. In a gesture of appreciation for her valuable work on behalf of the Democratic Party, Governor Whitmer recently appointed Garrett to the Commission on Community Action and Economic Opportunity. Garrett's LinkedIn profile also reveals that she is currently the chair of the Southfield Lathrop Democratic Club, as well as the co-chair of 14 Congressional District, blah, blah. Partners in crime. Absolutely. Okay, we go to this break, the top of the hour. And we'll be back in a few minutes.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.